This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Enrollment in the Affordable Care Act health insurance marketplaces fell in most states across the country during the past year, including West Virginia. As Kara Lofton reports, a new Urban Institute analysis tries to explain the change in enrollment rates.
35 states, including West Virginia, saw enrollment drops between last year and this year. 15 states saw enrollment increases. But West Virginia and Louisiana had the most significant drops at almost 20% and 24% fewer enrollees, respectively. The drop can likely be contributed to four things, says Urban Institute Research Associate Becky Peters. Funding cuts to advertising about the ACA, the influx of short-term limited care plans, a shortened enrollment period, and higher premiums.
The bottom line is that health insurance is expensive in West Virginia, and for people who are maybe deciding between whether to spend $500, $600 on a health insurance policy or meet their other basic needs, I think some folks were really in a tough position this year.
Additionally, marketing funding cuts contributed to widespread confusion about what exactly was going on with the ACA.
Not just consumers, frankly, policymakers were confused also. Folks were unsure if their plans were going to be available again this year. Maybe they had heard that premiums were going up and they didn't know how they would afford it. They didn't really know when to sign up. And then a lot of people weren't even sure that they needed insurance at all. They'd heard that the individual mandate had been repealed and they thought maybe they didn't need to get insurance this year.
Peter says it's hard to quantify how much the confusion affected enrollment, but says it certainly didn't help. She says health policy analysts weren't surprised by the drop in enrollment. The Trump administration openly does not support the ACA, but that the enrollment drop in ACA plans will likely coincide with a rise in enrollment in short-term plans. They're cheaper, but don't offer nearly as comprehensive coverage.
These are plans that they might look like a regular health insurance plan, but they don't really have all the benefits that an ACA compliant plan would. They're really designed for people trying to fill short gaps in coverage, so maybe, you know, between jobs or something.
While these plans are a lot cheaper than ACA plans, she says, they don't cover much and might exclude pre-existing conditions. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
On this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia, we hear several perspectives about what it's like to be LGBT in Appalachia. This morning, we'll hear an excerpt featuring how Marshall University has changed the way students there are treated. This includes a new program called the Trans Closet, which gives free clothes to all students to help students choose clothing of any gender in a judgment-free zone. Roxy Todd has more.
Marshall's LGBTQ plus office is located in a central campus building down in the small corner of the basement. There's a comfy lounge area with couches, books, and a TV. The students meet here for occasional support group meetings or just to watch movies and unwind. In a back room, there's a walk-in closet with hundreds of dresses, suits, pants, and shoes arranged on hangers and shelves. A full-length mirror hangs on the door. There isn't a men's or a women's section, and that's intentional.
We are in our trans closet.
That's Shantae Polk. She's the director of this office and also leads the Center for African American Students. This is the campus free store for students who identify as LGBT or are questioning their gender or sexual identity.
When you go into the store, are you getting looked at or judged? No. And they shouldn't either.
And all the items here were donated by students or people in Huntington.
We have things like necklaces and scarves and shoes and bags and nail polish and makeup, all clean or brand new, swimsuits, sunglasses. We have everything. If you can dream it, we have it possibly in here.
There are other free stores like this in cities and universities across the country. But LGBT advocates in West Virginia believe this is the first of its kind here. Polk identifies as straight, but she says she's an ally of the LGBTQ community and a Marshall grad herself. Through that lens, she can see that the school has come a long way. She remembers what she describes as a culture of discrimination against LGBT people 15 years ago when she was a student here, including stories of gay couples being ridiculed for kissing in public.
Nobody was really out and proud. And now I can walk out on the plaza and I see students holding hands, students with their rainbow shirts or pants, because we make a lot of pants and it's often in buttons.
Then in 2015, an assault on a couple near Marshall shocked the community. Marshall football player Stuart Butler was accused of hitting and taunting two men after they were kissing publicly in downtown Huntington, not far from campus. Butler was a star athlete, recognized across the country as a leading running back in college sports. Marshall dismissed him from the team a day after he was arrested. He was charged with battery and with two felony civil rights violations. Butler was ordered to serve 6 months in jail. The case made its way to the state's Supreme Court. But in a 3-2 vote, the justices ultimately agreed with the lower court to dismiss the most serious charges because the state's hate crime law doesn't cover discrimination based on gender identity or sexual orientation. Since the 2015 incident, Shantae Polk's office has expanded its work. It hosted Marshall's first Lavender graduation this spring. Other campuses, like West Virginia University, have similar events to celebrate graduates who identify as LGBT. The office will start a support group for transgender students this fall and do another clothing drive for the transgender closet. Last year's was a success.
It wasn't a bag or two, because it was wall-to-wall clothing. And I'm talking about really nice clothing with tags still on it. And it just makes me very, very proud to say that West Virginia, Marshall, Huntington is moving in a great direction.
But one Marshall student says there's still work to be done. Jo Gates is a transgender woman going into her junior year. She's from Parkersburg, West Virginia. She didn't start her transition until she came to Huntington.
I remember my freshman year, I went to go ask the LGBTQ office if they had any information on transgender hormones, and they just seemed like they were very misinformed about the process.
She says she doesn't blame the office or Marshall. She just wishes they had been able to help answer her questions. Instead, she searched for resources online.
I know that there are taking steps to get better. They're getting more actual queer people to work in the office, but I also don't necessarily like that our LGBTQ office is in the basement. The fact that an office for people's in the basement kind of explains like how visible our issues are at school, because it's like they're kind of hidden, literally.
Gates is a journalism major, and for a class, she made a short film about the dorm floor where she lives. It's Marshall's first gender-neutral residence space, a big deal for Gates because all Marshall students are required to live on campus their first 2 years of school. The chance to live in this dorm, with gender-neutral bathrooms, helped make her transition to being a female much less scary. But this past April, not long after she made the film about how much getting to live in this dorm had meant to her, Gates overheard a remark from a member of the cleaning staff, who walked in while Gates was washing her hands in the bathroom. Gates happened to be wearing very little, mostly just her underwear. She heard the cleaning person talking to another worker in the hall a few minutes later.
And he kept on saying, I just assumed it was a female. And he just kept on saying, you know, I assumed it.
Then Gates heard the other worker explain gender-neutral bathrooms. She pointed to the symbol on the door and said she doesn't like those signs because she doesn't want to run into a transgender student. Gates didn't report what she heard to Marshall because she says she didn't think it would do any good. We reached out to Marshall for a comment on Gates' story. Lakeisha Taylor, Associate Director of Residence Life at Marshall, said, quote, "It is disheartening to hear that a student has had this experience while living with us. We make every effort to be as inclusive as possible and provide our students with a welcoming living environment and experience. This includes providing our staff with education on issues of not only how to be successful in their positions, but also in their interactions with the residents we serve," end quote. Aside from this instance, Gates says she hasn't experienced any harassment on campus. She's been taking hormones for nearly a year and says the transition has been great and that she's happier than she's ever been in her life. She treasures the friends she's made in a support group for transgender men and women. That's organized by the psychology department at Marshall University and not by the LGBTQ plus office. At the support group, she's heard many different coming out stories and realizes that her family situation, though not perfect, has been better than others. And even though Parkersburg was more accepting than some places, she wasn't out as trans in high school. Just for the way she looked, she says she suffered emotional abuse as a teen. The worst was the first day of her freshman year.
It just seemed like there was a memo put out, and it was like, if you see Joe Gates, call this person a faggot.
The experience made her tougher.
Because it's like, God, if you can go to high school every day and people are threatening to kill you and calling you a faggot, like, you can survive anything.
But once she got to college, she says she never faced that level of discrimination. Despite the few setbacks she's faced in her dorm, overall, the experience has been positive. And although she feels like Marshall could be doing more to help people who are transgender, she says she thinks it's getting better. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Huntington.
To hear more of this episode of Inside Appalachia about changing views across our region and about some of the challenges that still face people who identify as LGBT, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:55. Flash flood watch remains in effect through late tonight for areas in central West Virginia. Rain and thunderstorms today with highs in the 70s and 80s. Rain and thunderstorms continue tonight with lows in the 60s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. By Marshall University, presenting the Ellis Marcellus International Jazz Piano Competition, June 22nd and 23rd at Pullman Square in downtown Huntington. jazzpianocompetition.org. Blues singer Shamika Copeland has been coming to Mountain Stage since 2003. Here she is on her latest return to the show with a fiery performance of The Battle Is Over, But the War Goes On.
Come on, y'all, put your hands together me like this. If you sing the song up a gun. Remember when you jump to the 8 o'clock whistle, the battle is over, but the war goes on. And if you close your eyes when you hear the thunder,
to hear Copeland's full performance and more, tune into Mountain Stage Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.